Just going to read one verse tonight. It's a familiar verse. One that many of us probably could memorize or quote. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." That first phrase, "where there is no vision, the people perish." What a statement. For our church, if we don't have a vision, the people will perish. And I want to be very serious tonight. I know I've been trying to joke around a little bit before. But what is your vision for our church? What's your vision? Our pastor has a vision. He shared little bits of it with me. There's things that he'd love to see done. He's talked about having another building in between these buildings he'd love to see with the, a gymnasium or, Sunday school classes or something there, or maybe a walkway between the two buildings. He's got a vision. He's got goals. He's got ambitions. He wants to see it grow. He wants to see it be successful in the eyes of Christ. And he has a vision. He has a dream. But what's our vision for our church? What's our purpose? Why do we come? So I was thinking about what to preach about, praying about it. I thought to myself, why do we come to church? Why do I fill a seat here? Why this church? Why Heritage Baptist Church? There's a lot of churches in town. You can get the yellow pages out and see all the different types. You can even go to Baptist and see all the different Baptist churches that are here in town. But why do you come to Heritage Baptist Church? And then I started thinking, what brought you to our church? So I'm going to ask, Charles, you look so energetic tonight. If you would do me a favor and take this around, I want to ask, I need a volunteer to raise your hand and tell me, why did you come to Heritage Baptist Church? What brought you here? And, all right, so why is it that you came here?
Google.
Okay. Now here's a follow-up. What made you stay?
Preacher.
Okay. Who else? Okay. It's like you're going to be busy tonight, buddy.
I got you.
What brought you here?
Of course, you know the answer.
Yes.
Okay. We were in Germany, and when we came to the States, Spencers were here, and they were with us in Germany. And that's the church they were coming to, so we came here. And we found it to be very friendly, which was what it was like in Germany, and that's what made us stay, was the friendliness.
Okay. All right, who else? Scott?
I came here because my wife and my daughter were saved here during VBS. The reason I stay here is probably because of the King James Bible. And I was asked this question a couple weeks ago, and probably the other reason I come to church is to get out of the world and get my battery charged.
Okay. In the back. And I'm not looking for why did you stay for 20 some years. When you first walked in the door, what made you come back the second time?
Okay, well, my husband went to Preacher's house to sell him Amway, and Preacher led him to the Lord that day. And so we came a little bit, but we didn't really start coming until I was pregnant with Jonah. And then when he was born, I went to a baby. They invited me to go to. They gave a baby shower for me, and Mrs. Shear made me learn everybody's name, all the ladies' names, and so then I felt connected and I felt like I had friends. So that's what made me come back. But then I've been a member of this church since my son was born, and he's going to be 30 in March.
Okay, John.
We had some friends in Germany, the Mervins, and they told us about the church. So we decided to come here, and of course, we always try to seek out the truth and, you know, see how friendly the church is and if they're preaching the word. So, you know, I always love the truth, and that's what I heard the preacher preaching. And he was sticking with the scriptures, and everybody was just as friendly.
Okay, anybody else? Why did you come to our church? What brought you here, Mrs. Jordan?
Pam's husband, Andy, came and got me, and John and Teresa were gone. They picked their van up in Washington after we got here, and so Andy come and picked us all up on base, and as soon as I walked in the door, I knew I was home, and I just kept coming back.
Okay. Anybody else? Not to put you on the spot? Charlene. Shit easy.
I came to the church. Well, before I even married Rick, I had wanted to come here and teach in the school when it was still going, before we even had the inkling that we were going to date or anything like that, because of Preacher and because of Stacy and because of Pam and Andy. And then, of course, I came here because we got married, and then I had to stay. So it'd be kind of bad if the assistant pastor's wife didn't go to the same church as them.
Anybody else?
I would make you, but
we all know the answer for that one, too. It's just reversed from Charlene. He's holding on to it. A recurring thing. We came, and one of two things. It's either Pastor Shear or the friendliness of the church. How friendly the people were. How inviting that it was. John, how long ago was that? 8 years? Julie said 30. For us, it's been 27 years. Are we Montana's friendliest church right now? I would hope to say yes. But I want to ask you, do you feel like you make our church a friendly place? Now, there are some friendly people here. There's some very friendly people here. Well, I think of Nancy Ross. Nancy Ross, she talks to everybody. It is not a big deal for her to talk. And that's not a bad thing. Because people that are new here, boy, they enjoy talking to her. And she's not afraid. Scott will come up and he'll announce who's our visitors on Sunday morning. And then every once in a while he'll say, let's give them three. That means 3 minutes in the auditorium. The concept behind that was supposed to be that we give our pastor 3 minutes at the door with nobody there. That we all stay in here talking with our visitors that are here, getting to know them, getting to hear who they are, where they've been. Not only that, but our members here should be talking with each other. Because it's one thing if we're friendly to our visitors. But if we're not friendly to each other, we're not Montana's friendliest church. If we can't stand being around somebody and we just think, well, I'm just going to wait till they leave and then I'll go. Or if we have the mindset, nobody talks to me. Nobody really knows me. I'm just here. So the question is are you making Heritage Baptist Church a friendly place? Or are we leaving that to certain people that we know will try and do the job for us? Because it is our responsibility to carry that so that we can build our church. Our vision for our church is to see our church grow. It's to see it build up and to get as many people as we can, one, to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, two, as preachers talked about, see them follow the Lord in believer's baptism, become a member of Heritage Baptist Church and grow. That's the vision. He just talked about it. It's one thing for him to have the vision, but do we have it? Are we just putting it all on him? So you know what? Pastor will take care of everything. He's a friendly guy. He talks to everybody at the door, so I don't have to do anything. People are going to come because they like him. He's great with kids. He preaches the Word of God from the King James Bible. He is doctrinally sound. But are we pulling our weight in it? Our vision for our church. Montgomery Ward was started in 1872. Anybody remember Montgomery Ward's? How many have no idea what Montgomery Ward's is? Do you know why that is? In 1872, Montgomery Ward's was started. It was started as a catalog company where you send out catalogs and then you would order from their catalog and they would send it back. Right now it's Swiss Colony. Do you ever get a Swiss Colony book in the mail or something like that? That's what Montgomery Ward's used to be. It was started in 1872 and it was one of the largest retailers in the United States. For years, 128 years, Montgomery Ward's was in business. But something happened. It's closed. It's sold. I believe Swiss Colony is the one that bought it out because it went back to just being a catalog company. It couldn't keep its retail stores open. The employees weren't as good as when the founder of it had it. It changed from the founder to his son to the next son. And somewhere along the line, the vision was lost for the company. And they started to make changes to it. And now Montgomery Ward's is no longer. Why? They lost the vision. Heritage Baptist Church, if we do not catch the vision, can only last for so long. There's a thing called attrition that every single person that is in business knows about attrition. In my business, in the banking industry, if you do not get new people, you have people that are closing accounts down all the time. And if you don't have new people to replace those, you're going to go in the negative. If you have loans that are being paid off for different reasons, if you don't have new loans coming on the books, you're in trouble. And every year they look at it, what's your gross profit? What is your new sales? And if we don't grow as a church, attrition happens. Why? Because we're at a military base. We're going to have families like the Biermans that were here and leave. The Salcedos, the Sumners. And if we have people that are coming here and visiting our church and we're not doing anything and being friendly to them and doing our part, they'll go somewhere else. On top of that too, our families that are here as members of Heritage Baptist Church, if we are not friendly to them, if we are not inviting, if we don't get around them and support them, they'll go somewhere else. If we're not doing our part, if we don't get the vision, A church takes three things to keep it going. One, it takes money. Well, we just had our annual business meeting. We all know about the finances. It takes the tithes of our church. We're not part of some committee or anything else that gives us money. We're not part of, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention or any other type of convention that funnels money into our church. Our church exists financially by you. That's it. If we don't give, we don't have money to pay the lights, lights don't come on. It takes us. It takes money. It also takes, like I said, new members. It takes growth. But and also it takes our current members to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So I ask you a question. Most of us have been coming here for at least a year, if not more. I know some are a little bit newer. Some have been here for a while. We have some of the dinosaurs in the back that's been here for 27 years. But I ask you a question. Are you more spiritual today than you were a year ago? Where have you grown? Do you read your Bible more today than you did last year? How's your prayer life? Have you establish that? Can you say that you pray more now than you did last year? Or are we stagnant? Stuck in a rut? Just doing whatever? Coming to church, filling our spot, going home. Are we growing? Is there a desire to say, I want to get into the Word of God? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Do we desire the Word of God? Do we crave it? You talk about some addictions that are out there today, alcohol addictions. There, I've been up at the hospital and I was talking with the other chaplain as well. We went in, we saw this man, and he looked at him and he was had a relapse in alcohol, and he looked at him and he said, "You are addicted to alcohol. One drop for you is too much." He went years without anything, had one drop, relapsed, and was sitting in the gutter. Why? Because the craving was too strong. You think of cigarettes. How many times you hear on the commercials about cigarettes and trying to kick that? And you'll hear them time and time again. "I didn't quit the first time," or "I didn't stay smoking," or "I didn't stay with the first time. It took me two or three times before I kicked the addiction." Why? Because it's so strong, they feel that addiction, the need for it, and they crave it, and their body wants it so bad, they go get it on. You get your chain smokers that just keep on going. Once one's done, they pick up another one. You get people that are addicted to alcohol. As soon as they're done, they're picking up another one. You get people that are addicted to drugs. I don't understand it. You get people that are addicted to meth, and they pick at their skin and all that. Their teeth fall out. It makes absolutely no sense to put the stuff that meth is made out of in your body. It's stupid. I mean, it's really dumb. Battery acid and stuff? Really? Logically, think about what it is. But they don't think that way. Why? Addicted. Because that addiction is so strong, it doesn't matter to them that their teeth have fallen out. They need more. It doesn't matter to them that, their skin is they're picking at it and they're bleeding. They got all that, it's just hideous. You can see it. How they act when they're tweaking and they're just, you know, they don't care. Why? Because they're addicted to it. Are we addicted to the Word of God? Is there a desire for it where we say, boy, I haven't had my Bible today. I've got to get it. Is there a desire? Or is it, I'll put my Bible on the shelf and I'll get back to it Sunday when I pick it back up again for church. Never have to worry about losing our Bible. Why? Because it's always in the same spot before we pick it up for church. Because it's right there where we left it when we came home from church. And there's no desire whatsoever. Do we desire the sincere milk of the Word? Why do we need it? So we can grow. Or as parents, you know, you get the wool. We've got one in our house. And we measure the boys every so often, every couple months. And you put the mark on, and they get so excited about how they grow. Even little Blake, he'll put himself up against the wall, and then he'll turn around, and he'll want to look to see where he was and where he's moved up to. Why? Because they want to grow. Then they ask Dad, Dad, you do it. And you know what I have to say? I'm in the same spot I was last time. At least I'm not shrinking. Not yet. I'm not getting scoliosis or anything like that yet. But I didn't grow. Of course, that's physically. We know, we understand. We get to a point. That's it. The only way we're going to grow is out. That's about it. But as a Christian, we should always desire to grow. Are we a stronger Christian than what we were last year? Or have we regressed a little? I once used to go soul winning. I used to knock on doors. I used to work in the bus ministry. I used to sing in the choir. I used to work in the nursery. I used to do this and I used to do that. I used to read my Bible. I used to want to pray. But I guess I'm just too busy now. If our current members aren't growing, our church isn't growing. But it's on the pastor. He needs to preach the Word of God. Our pastor, if you're here every single service, for the time that he's just preaching, if you go and hear him 45 minutes for Sunday school, he gets maybe 45 minutes if he's lucky Sunday morning. 45 minutes to an hour Sunday night. And then depending on how fast he can get up here Wednesday night, 30 to 45 minutes. So it's a grand total of 3 hours. Every single service, from Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it comes out to about 3 hours. There are movies that are longer than that. And we'll sit down and watch those movies, and we won't even think about it. And all of a sudden, it'll end, and if it's a good movie, we'll think, it's already over? Seven o'clock. Wonder if it's going to be long tonight. I hope not. I'm in the nursery tonight. I hope he preaches quick. I understand that. One of them's mine. I really understand that. So 3 hours. 168 hours in a week. It's less than 2% of your time. Comes out to about 1.78 or so of your time for the week is spent listening to our pastor preach. I cannot depend on my pastor for me to grow spiritually. Why? He has less than 2% of my time. That's it. I sleep more in a day than I hear the Word of God preached from this pulpit in a week. I sleep more in a day than probably 2 weeks worth of preaching from this pulpit. If I'm going to grow as a Christian, it's on me. I have to desire it. I have to want it. I have to crave it. I have to say, I'm going to set it and schedule it, and I need to do it because I want to desire the sincere milk of the Word so I can grow and be a better Christian. But are we? Do we even care about it? Or do we just hold on and hope, well, you know, he's got 13 more minutes left. All right, we'll be all right. Okay, I did my good deed. I feel good as a Christian because I came to church and I sat in my spot. I listened. I was attentive. I paid attention. I didn't play on my phone. I didn't doodle. I didn't do any of that. I sincerely listened. I just didn't respond to it. So I'll leave and I'll go home. I'll sit down on the couch and turn on the TV, and everything that I just heard for the past 30 minutes goes right out my mind. Because we don't grow as Christians. We play church. Church is the social time. Church is, we know in our society that it is good for us to be in church. So I ask you, what's the reason for being here tonight? It's obviously not because of our pastor. Because if it was because of our pastor, you wouldn't be here tonight. Because he's not here. He's gone. Is it because we're a member of our church and we're expected to be here? I come because it's expected of me. It's my responsibility Sunday morning to be in my spot. Or is it because we want to? Because we desire it? Because we crave hearing the Word of God? Because we've already been hearing it as we've read throughout the week? Because we spend time on our knees praying, or wherever it is, sitting there praying, saying, God, I need you. God, I need to grow. I need to be better than I was last year at this time. I want to be more. I want more fruit. I want more of your Word inside of me. Or are we just fulfilling a responsibility because that's the way we're raised up, to go to church? So here I am, doing my job. To many people, church is just a job. We come, we sit, we go, we've fulfilled our time. At work, one of the things we look for is what we call an engaged employee. Somebody that wants to be there. Boy, I have a couple engaged employees. Do you know how many times they've called in sick last year? I have one employee, not one single time. Not one day missed. She meets every single requirement that is there, and she's even said it. You know, I don't have to come to work. She says, I don't need the money, but I enjoy being here. She's an engaged employee. Are we engaged Christians? Or are we just fulfilling our responsibility as a Christian. God says I have to be here, so here I am. I'm useless, but I'm here. I don't do anything, but I'm here. I'm faithful, just to church and nothing else, but I'm here. We have to grow. Why is that? Because I have a vision for my family. Not only do I have a vision for a church, but I have a vision for my family too. Boy, this is tough for me. Every single parent, if you're a good parent, would say, I want my kid to be better than me. I don't want my kids to go through the difficulties that I did, the struggles that I had. Financially, I want to teach them how to be financially responsible. I want them to understand different things, and I want to teach them why, because I have a vision. I tell my boys all the time, I want you to be a better Christian than I am. I want you to be closer to God than I am. And so because that's my vision for my boys, that puts the responsibility to me to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to as a father in teaching them how to be that type of Christian. If I want my son to have a closer walk with God than I do, I have to teach him that. How? By example. He's got to get it by example. Kids learn two different ways. They learn by being told, and they learn by watching. And what they see sticks a whole lot more than what they hear. Our kids watch us. They hear what we say, our conversations. They hear about, and they watch the movies that we watch. We may not know that they're watching, but they hear them. Well, where did you learn that? From the TV. Well, what were you watching? The same thing you were. So if they're saying something you didn't want them to say, it's your fault. It's not my fault, it's the TV's fault. You're watching it. It's okay for you, so it must be okay for them. If you have that desire that you want your kids to grow up to be better than what you were, then you've got to start making changes to make that come true. And part of that is growing as a Christian, so that they're starting off further than what you started off as. But instead, what happens? If you look in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 26, it's talking about one of the kings. Right after his father died, the Bible says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father. And in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. Let me read that one more time. When I read this, it hits home. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Think about that. We're not just talking about a little bit of sin. That's evil. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. How did he learn that? He walked in the way of his father. He learned it from dad. The sins that we have can be passed down to our children. Your kids will pick up what you do, and then it becomes theirs. If my vision for my family is that they would be stronger and better Christians than me, then I've got to get rid of the sin that does so easily beset me. Because if I don't, they pick it up. The tendencies that I have, they're watching. They're watching my mannerisms, the way that I treat people, the things that I say, the things that I do, they're watching all of that. So are yours. It don't matter if they're 2 years old, they're picking it up. And if our job is to train them so that they're better Christians than us, we've got to watch ourselves too. We have to take the time to sit down with them and say, now listen, these are the struggles that I had. I don't want you to have that. This is the difficulties that I had. You need to stay clear of this. Trust me, it's not fun. And then we get rid of that sin that does so easily beset us, and we purpose in our heart that we're going to get into our Bible. There's a song that I heard that says, I want to be that man. And it talks about a man, a boy that watches his dad, and in the morning he opens up his Bible and he reads it, how he knows that his dad is a Christian, how he loves the Lord. And he says, I want to be that man. Your son or your daughter want to be like you. I've heard both my boys say, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be like you. And I think to myself when they say that, I hope you catch the right side. I hope you're seeing the things that I want you to see that are scriptural and doctrinal, that you're saying I want to be that Christian that loves the Lord, that wants to serve God with all my heart. I hope you're not saying, Dad, I want to be like you and see the sin that I struggle with. Because let's be honest with ourselves, we all have it. Well, I don't have kids. There are people that watch you. We're an example to somebody. And our kids are going to pick up something from us. And if we're not careful, it's going to be the wrong thing. They're going to see it. And then their reason back is, well, you did it. So I guess it was okay. I hope that my boys will catch the side that loves the Lord. I don't want them to come to church just because it's our responsibility. I don't want them to be a member here just because it's my job. Because I want to. I want them to see that friendly side. It says I'm going to get around and be friendly to everybody at our church. Well, they don't like me. Well, whose fault is that? Honestly, whose fault? If Clyde doesn't like me, I must have done something. So I better go figure it out and get it right so that we'd be friends. Well, nobody comes and talks with me. Whose fault is that? The Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. We have to be friendly. We want to have friends? Be friendly. Either that or we'll just go on our merry way. Show up when we're supposed to show up. We'll fulfill our duty as a Christian. And this place will grow cold and dark and eventually empty. Because no one will want to go here. If we don't step out and say, I want to do more for Christ. I want to grow in grace. Let's pray.